very quickly. Okay? Because I'm tired of the junk. And this isn't about everybody's stuff being spread out. This is about how do we separate the spirit that operated in someone from that person and forgive them? How do we get it out of our own hearts? How do we see the damage that was done? And how do we see that God gets all the glory and everybody turns from the lies of the enemy? That is key, okay? For behold, it says, for the grief according to God works repentance to salvation without regret. Ooh. Oh, I hope somebody's watching this on the internet. But the grief of the world works death. For behold, this very same thing, you being grieved according to God, how much it fully worked earnestness in you, but also defense, also indignation, also fear, also desire, also zeal, and also vengeance. And everything you commended yourselves to be clear in the matter. In other words, when God does something, you go after it from every single angle. When God stirs up godly repentance and God, and there's a godly grief in you, the Holy Spirit in you folks will rise up and go after it from every angle. You will go after it with zeal. You will go after it with vengeance. Not vengeance after the person, vengeance after the devil. You will go after it with indignation. Devil, how dare you? Look what you did to my family. Look what you're doing to me. How dare you do this? I like this, you guys. Also defense. And that's not saying the defense. You may have defenses come up you got to get rid of. But there comes a defending the things of God. There comes a defending the word of God. Also fear. There's a counterfeit to all this, but there's also the reverent fear of the Lord that's going to bring you to wisdom, okay? A desire. And everything you commended yourselves to be clear in the matter. In other words, you went after this and made sure that you cleared your part in it. Okay, it says, the name that I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one doing wrong, nor for the sake of the one being wronged, but for the sake of revealing our earnestness on your behalf for you before God. Because of this, we have been comforted over your comfort, and we rather rejoice more abundantly over the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Anyway, he goes on and says, everybody benefits. Everybody in the ministry benefits. Everybody in your household benefits. There's a great rejoicing that comes when you get to the bottom of something and it's done to glorify God and people repent and turn. And you need to allow yourself the awesome gift of repentance instead of condemnation. Okay, Terry, go ahead and explain anxiety or that vexed thing or whatever else it was you're going to do.
I started looking up the anxiety and the worry and in the scripture. And in Philippians 4:4, I'm using the King James just because it's just the version that I used. And it's comparable to the literal. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think a lot of us know this scripture. Let your moderation be known unto men. And I think that's kind of neat how they wrote it there. Moderation means self-control, restraint, but it also means not overreacting. And one thing that I've been fasting for a long time, and I've talked to a lot of you about that. So a long time I've been really fasting, the overreacting and the drama and things like that, that I knew were there, but I just didn't understand how it was all related with this obsession thing. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, which translates in the Strong's. A lot of your versions say, be anxious or have no thought of. Okay, different versions, but that's the original text is, be anxious or have no thought of. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God, known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And that, to me, is what he really used to show me, really kind of my whole stronghold right there, the things I've been fasting, the things that I've been dealing with, and then the promise of him keeping the heart and my mind and having that sound mind that Cindy talked about before. Careful. Here, the original, it means to be anxious about, to have care, to take thought. Care actually is the opposite of indifference, and we have teachings on indifference, which isn't a good thing, but it can also mean, there is caring about someone and things like that, but it can mean a troubled or burdened state of mind, worry and concern, and anxiety. It's an apprehensive or uneasy feeling. It says in my Webster from way back, the older Webster, it said with less mental activity than worry. It said often over some indefinite but anticipated evil, a state of being uneasy, apprehensive, or a concern about what may happen. And that's what God really showed me with my situation. I could never really put my finger on it. I could never really say this event happened. Some people I know have some very specific trauma and fear, and they can very specifically say, this is the fear, this is the trauma. Mine was just this uneasiness that kind of just floated around and just kind of was there. And I just could not really put my finger on it. And that was the anxiety. I thought it was also interesting that anxious means to choke and to give pain. And again, something that I've been dealing with for years, it's kind of become a little bit of a joke, but it's really not funny when you deal with it, is the hairdryer thing, where I would get under a hairdryer, one of those big ones, and it really wasn't funny. I've almost ran out. It doesn't happen now. God's really been good, and his grace is taking care of it. But I mean, where I really could not breathe. I'm just telling you, I'm sitting there under this thing, and I'm praying in tongues, finally singing Jesus Loves Me pretty loud at the hairdresser. That did work. I mean, I'd bring my Bible, I'd bring my iPod, and I mean, I truly felt like I could not breathe, and I had no idea. And there's been different healings and different things God's been showing, but I now know that this is really a big root to that. But anxious means to choke and give pain. Now, worry means to strangle and to annoy, bother, harass, and vex. And this word vex has come up. I know different teachings and different things. I don't think we particularly have a specific teaching just on that. But I'll get into that definition in a minute. But to pluck at, push on, this is worry. Touch repeatedly in a nervous or determined way. I'm just going to say this. Knuckle cracking, picking, biting fingernails. All of that stuff has to do with this. I'm sure God will show us more and go deeper into that. But I'm just going to say there is such a knuckle cracking society going on right now that is in it. You watch a person, and I interview, and I watch so many people now when they come in to interview are sitting there the whole time. I mean, they're cracking loud. And so it's not something they're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just going to crack, you know, it feels good to release this. They're not going to sit there in the interview and crack so loud that I can hear it. Then they start cracking their neck while they're sitting there talking to me. And it's just very, very, it's very upsetting. I'm really not making fun of people that do that, because I can tell it's really something that tries to move into the neurotic almost, which is another thing of mental illness. But pray about that if you have any of those things I just mentioned, because I do, it is to pluck at, push on, touch repeatedly in a nervous or determined way. And also worry can to cause to feel troubled, uneasy, make anxious or distressed, what we've talked about. But I really, really, I woke up this morning, actually. I had looked up vex, but this morning I really felt like the Holy Spirit said very clearly, I'd had a dream, which I won't get into that, but, I felt like the Holy Spirit said vex and plague. And I'm like, okay. You know, I knew vex was a part of this teaching at one point. And vex means to agitate and to give trouble to in a petty or nagging way, disturb, annoy, irritate, to distress, afflict, or plague. And so this anxiety and this worry really is a vexing spirit, which I know Cindy has talked about that before, and it's a form of witchcraft involved in that, which she can teach on that. I don't remember all the details, but to give trouble to in a petty or nagging way, disturb, annoy, irritate, to distress, afflict, or plague. And the truth is, I didn't take that lightly, because I knew I didn't have authority over this stuff. So anything I don't have authority in the supernatural, I know it's in me. I mean, that's not condemnation. That's not guilt. That's
something just zapped me when you were saying that, because I know different people's issues. If you have an issue of picking on people, or you have a child that reacts by annoying and picking and pushing, it is probably a vexing spirit that comes from spirit of fear. And that's how they handle whatever they were afraid of. Whether there was violence in the home, mm-hmm. they were afraid there was going to be a divorce, they were afraid for something. So one of the spirits of anxiety, which is fear, which mm-hmm. is constantly wondering what's going to happen next, how to take care of things, that causes, from what Terry's found, a demonic spirit that vexes or causes them to have something in them that constantly pushes. It's a constant action mm-hmm. that just irritates. It's an irritating spirit that, and actually part of that is passive aggressive, I think.
Yes.
Part of it is a passive aggressive, yes. Underlying fear, underlying anger. You know, fear can be if there's a second child born and there's a lot of strange things in the house, or right at the time that the second child is born, there's some problems with the parents. The young child could equate that with the baby, and there could come a vexing spirit that constantly picks on and robs that. And so you may want to make sure you get all this anxiety out of your heart and get rid of a spirit that vexes you and whatever that fear might be, so that you have authority over that with your children. And then the Holy Spirit will more than likely show you where that child picked that up out of jealousy, out of fear, out of anger. Everything goes back to fear, okay, mm-hmm. pretty much. That's yeah. the atmosphere that Satan works in. And so if you can get back to the area of the spirit of fear, there's very few things that God calls a spirit in the Bible, but there is a specific spirit called a spirit of fear. And God has now given it to us. And it's the opposite of love, power, and a sound mind. So a spirit of fear is going to be behind hate, both self-hate and hating others. It's going to be behind false power, okay? Fighting, violence, money, greed, any kind of thing that someone grabs onto for power that's not the power of God. Also a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, mm-hmm. anything that takes away the true power, okay? If God is not given a spirit of fear, but love, power, and then a sound mind. So anything of the enemy is going to be unsoundness of mind, which includes a vexing spirit. Because what a vexing spirit is going to do, it's going to be compulsive, and it's going to cause that person to have a demon react, have them constantly push, have them nail bite, have them do actions that are very passive aggressive many times. To say, I didn't do anything, you know. But they're acting out from a deeper fear. Okay. And I just, because some of the things Terry's hitting on tonight, I know some of you've been praying about and the Holy Spirit's shown it to me. This is that thing they've been asking about. So if you have the spirit of being vexed, or you have the spirit of an anxiety, any of these things that are all put together, that tormenting thing, if that is coming after you, you could have a child who just picks on his brother or picks on his sister. Okay? In other words, it's connected. This stuff is connected. It's all based on fear that gives into anxiety. It sounds like anxiety is about your brain trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Some of you say, I think too much. I can't sleep because I think too much. This is that spirit.
That's right.
If you have a spirit that you have to try to figure everything out and you've taken in the enemy in your mind to solve things, there's going to be no peace. And in that place is going to be torment. And that's what vexing spirit is, a tormenting spirit. Mm-hmm. So you may have a child who has a tormenting spirit that isn't in their thinking, but is in their behavior.
That's right.
Okay. You'll have no authority over it. You'll say, stop it. You'll punish them. You'll take things from them. You'll do this. You'll try to cast the thing out. Everything. You'll have no authority if you have a tormenting spirit of anxiety in your thinking that makes you compulsive and obsessive in your thinking. That devil can manifest in a child or in anyone to act out. You know, you could have been one who acted out when you were young. And then you get enough self-control just because you're an adult not to keep pushing and shoving people and that kind of thing. But that passive aggressive, that fear could then go into your thought life. Oh, this is good. You could go from being the one who pushed and bit your fingernails and did all this passive aggressive kind of thing. That's also very much what I'm seeing in this is this whole anxiety spirit is a spirit of trying to solve problems without Christ, Amen. Trying to get rid of fear without Christ, trying to deal with demonic attack without Christ. And as you have incorporated this spirit, this counterfeit in your own heart to try to deal with things, this control spirit really, of a torment, it goes from a place, it's seen in your kids as repeated uncontrollable, really almost because it's demonic, uncontrollable to a degree, action that shows us some passive aggressiveness to it. Okay, do you understand this? Mm-hmm. But as you grow up and you learn not to do that, you don't take the Leviathan thing where you go and start beating everybody up, but you learn to push that down. It's showing up in your sleep or lack of. It's showing up in your dreams. Okay? It's still in there. You've learned not to act out on it, but it's showing up in another way. Therefore, you have no authority over it in your children. Does everybody get that? How many is ready for an altar call? Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to do the plague. Can I do the plague?
Okay, let her do the plague.
The plague is anything that afflicts or troubles to vex, harass, trouble, and torment. And so I have scriptures here. I'll just give the names of this. I mean, the numbers of the scriptures. Luke 7:21 and Luke 6:18, Acts 5:16, Matthew 17:55. And let me just say with the ones that I have, but actually it's consistent throughout, and this would be a whole nother teaching we won't get into tonight, but every single one of them get into about the unclean spirit. And they were in Luke 6:18, and they were vexed with unclean spirits. In Acts 5:16, and they were vexed with unclean spirits. Totally different circumstances.
Let me look at this real fast.
Okay.
Okay. Luke 7:21. In the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many, they were blind, he gave sight. What's the word plague in the literal? Did you look it up? Nicole, look for me. Luke 7:21.
Plague. I got this all this morning, and I didn't have a lot of time.
And unto many, they were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The dead are raised. Hope we don't have to go there. To the poor, the gospel is preached. And blessed is whoever shall not be offended in me. Okay.
I think it says, yeah, okay. This pretty much is comparable.
Luke 6:18. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people came out of Jerusalem and from the sea coast, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. So vexed here means a demonic demon that torments them with unclean stuff. Okay? So that's, again, obsessiveness. That's in your thought life. That's a constant bombardment with unclean things. And let me say, unclean is not always sexual perversion, but sexual perversion is unclean. Okay, because there's just a few names for demons. But an unclean spirit is something that makes a person unholy, mm-hmm. and unpure, and they know it. Okay? So if something's unclean, it's something that the result of that spirit tormenting you makes you feel like you can't be holy, like that God can never use you. There's something really wrong with you, okay? That spirit is going to do that. And that's part of the vex thing. So if you have a spirit that's vexed, that comes from this fear, it could open the door very quickly for sexual perversion. It could open the door for sexual addiction. It could open the door for all kinds of perversions that's hard to get rid of, even though you're not giving into that lifestyle anymore, even though you've been set free, even though you've quit watching garbage on TV, even though you've broken the power of iniquity. If you haven't dealt with the fear that brought in anxiety, which is a tormenting spirit where you're going to try to solve everything, you could still be plagued with unclean dreams. You could still be plagued with unclean thoughts. This thing could come after your children, even though they were raised in a godly home. Okay? And I know it's like, gosh, this is so complicated. But the truth is, it's not. The truth is, God is just revealing to you where any place in your life something took the place of the Holy Spirit, you need to recognize it is the cause of your problems. And if you would just repent, turn from it, renounce it, and take God into that place, you'll be completely set free. And what Satan does with these things that don't seem to be connected, he tries to make you feel so condemned and so dirty and so unclean, and he tries to make you feel like, I've tried everything. It's just me. I'm just, something's wrong with me. It doesn't matter. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because when you tear these things down, you can begin to see, oh my gosh, this all goes along with the enemy making me afraid, the enemy attacking me, the same judgments. I mean, it's really not that difficult if you allow God to open it up, just like he did for Terry. She had to get to a certain place for God to reveal to her that there is a vex on that Bible. There are tormenting spirits allowed in your house because you have a Freemasonry Bible. If you have a Book of Mormons in your house, throw it away. If you have witchcraft books, if you have anything in your house that demons are allowed to hang out with, get rid of it. Because you're allowing a tormenting spirit in your house. And then God used that to say, this is why there's something unclean in the house that's not leaving. But also, this also is a hint to you to look up being vexed. And then that hooked him with anxiety, with none of us would know. And let me say this again, because you can get overwhelmed, especially if this is like new to you. Like, oh, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit knows everything. And he is your way of escape. And his mercy covers anything that he has not revealed to you yet. And he doesn't want you going after inner healing deliverance. He doesn't want you going after demons. He doesn't want you trying to figure out every single thing in your family line. He just wants you focusing on Christ, and then he will reveal all this to you. Okay? That is so key, because you will find out, just like anyone who becomes legalistic, if you try to get into heaven by doing every single law that is in the Bible, it will bring death to you. And if you try to get free by figuring out every single thing that's ever been done to you, it will drive you crazy. This is not something God wants you to do with your intellect. This is something he has to reveal to you. And part of all of this that we're talking about anxiety is about you trying to be in control and you trying to protect yourself or protect others. So tonight, we want to bust down the door of you being the protector dash the oppressor dash the person who is in control. What a control spirit does is it causes you not to be able to surrender and trust God. That's what it does. And then Satan does all this crazy stuff to make you think you can't trust God. I tried all that. And the truth is, you just have to let go and trust God.